together. Come on. While I pray, no matter. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out some praise. Last time, when somebody clapped your hands, it's a wrap.
This song to start this broadcast off, particularly because we are in a war zone. Yes, this is Real Talk with Pastor E and my co-host, Minister Carolyn Hamilton. Look, I didn't even have to use my last name. She has it. She is part of Sisters Working Against Gang Violence and a covenant partner here at P2P Ministries in the Now Network. Yes, we invite everyone to join us for this variety of Real Talk discussions, dynamic principles based on messages and worship to our God with extravagant respect. And here's the disclaimer for Real Talk, because we're talking about worldly things here. The disclaimer is, family, we are fully devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And yes, with open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every given opportunity. Yes, and through works of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we claim it, we decree it, we will reach the lost and unsaved in our regions and in our areas and anywhere God calls us to be. But here, Real Talk with Pastor E is where we are really dedicating our time and our efforts and everything else we're doing to domestic violence next door. Remember, it could have been so close, but because we were only concerned with ourselves. Remember when we started in January, we were only concerned about ourselves and things that if it wasn't in my household, if it wasn't in my clique, in my group, in my family, then it's their problem. But that is something we've learned to be untrue as a believer of Jesus Christ and believing that all are, watch this, called by God. Now, they may not be walking in their calling. They may not even be walking in the belief of Jesus Christ, but they were all called. Nobody can disregard anybody and say who is not chosen by God. That's not our job. But our job is to now come together in unity and embrace principles that we can now show through our examples and through our trials and our tribulations on how you can get to the other side. There is another side of joy. There is another side of peace. There is another side of love that you can experience when you call on his name. That's for me, that's for you, and that's for anybody else. But domestic violence, as we continue to see it in the news and we hear more about it because of social media and smartphones and things like that, it is a cycle of abuse. We've talked about this, I think, in week two or three, but that cycle of abuse has to stop, and it has to stop with me. When someone will pass it, you're not an abuser. It has to stop with me, and you can put your name on it, that we need to work with somebody, and we need to be available to help those. People only do what they know to do. That's a known fact. You're not born into this. You're not, don't have the DNA of that. If you're acting the way someone else acted, that's because that spirit, that tradition, or that person is depositing in you, and then you have no other reason. You know, the principle of crazy. If you are being raised by somebody who is crazy, and that's not a joke or anything, just an analogy. But if you're being raised by somebody who's crazy, do you think you won't be? Oh, no, you may learn how to facade it and how to work it through, but you will be what is in you. You are a product of what's inside of you. And we have to now change those attitudes. So we're here to be supported. We're here, myself, Minister Carolyn, all of our covenant partners, anyone you hear on this broadcast is covenant. And any of our covenant partners are here and available for you at any given time to listen, to embrace you, to love on you. And we are now with Justice and a lot of other entities and shelters that are coming forward through this broadcast and the works of our hitting the streets and finding places, there is refuge. But we want to be there for you, and no, we won't leave you until you find, or until you achieve where God wants you to be. We want to walk this walk with you. So, amen. That's our little opening announcement this morning. Ooh, my words are all over the place this morning. We got a big day today. Without any further ado, I want to bring in the co-host for Real Talk with Pastor E, Minister Carolyn Hamilton.
Yeah,
good morning.
I was supposed to buy the stuff, remember?
Okay, she's having a conversation. So I'm going to blank her out until, and I think she'll hear me now. I want to go ahead and bring in Minister Carolyn and into the conversation. And then we have a special guest this morning, not new to the network, not new to our listeners, but new to this broadcast, Real Talk with Pastor E, Domestic Violence Next Door. We're going to share that with you in a minute. So without any further ado, here's my co-host, Minister Carolyn Hamilton. Good morning.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, Pastor, and all the listeners. This is Carolyn Hamilton. So, yes, it's a blessing to be back on the air today.
Yes,
can
it
you
is.
Hear me, Pastor?
Yes, I can.
I know we're juggling events around and doing different things, but I still thought it would benefit others for this show to go forth. So I'm praying that someone that's listening hears something and that the people that speak could minister to some young lady or possibly some older lady or some men out there could get this, what we're trying to do, and
right.
They could seek the help that they need.
Amen, amen. That's what we want to challenge everybody on this broadcast. I know you're sitting there saying, wow, this is why, how did I end up here? This is where I needed to be. If somebody else you know that needs to be on this broadcast, it's going to be a mighty move of God on this air, and I believe people's lives can be changed by the testimony and, as I said, the now principles on how to go forward. Call somebody, text somebody, share the event on Facebook. I know you're on Facebook while you're listening. Go ahead and share the event and invite somebody to Real Talk with Pastor E. So how are you this week? I know we're all over the place, but how are you this week, Minister Carolyn?
I'm blessed. I'm just getting ready for downtown. Tomorrow's getting ready for Taste the Soul, and we're in here trying to juggle everything and get ready at the same time. So I believe that, I don't know the number, but Ms. Trina is on the line, and if we could ask her to press 1 if she's on there.
Yes, Ms. Trina, dial 1 on your keypad. That will bring you up into the queue. I see it, 760, last 45392. We're going to also welcome our guest in here just to give an intro. So you want to go ahead and introduce Ms. Trina?
Ms. Trina is a justice freedom fighter. She was in domestic violence relationship when she was a child, like I think 15, 16, the guy that she was dating. And then after that relationship ended, she ended up in another volatile relationship. So I believe that the way we can work it today is where the guests could just tell their stories, and maybe after we
right.
could have question and answers, because I know they have some dynamic stories and they need to
amen.
Get it out.
Amen, amen, amen. And we also have on this morning Pastor Valoris Brooks. She is a author. She's a pastor. She's just an awesome woman of God. She's been on the network here for I can't remember how long. It seems like a while, but I think it's less than 6 months. But I'm just grateful to have her on the board tonight. We want to say hi to Ms. Trina. Good morning, Ms. Trina. How are you? Welcome to Real Talk.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Valora is not welcome to the network, but welcome to Real Talk. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor E. I'm wonderful, blessed to be here with all of you.
Amen. Amen. We're blessed to have you here, too. Well, what we're going to do this week is, it doesn't matter to me, we're pick straws, but we want to give you ladies an opportunity to share with our guests your story and your glory. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. That came straight down. I didn't have that written down. To give you guys an opportunity to share your story and your glory, and then we want to come back and just kind of feedback with you, have open a discussion, get the lines open. There's somebody out there listening today I know needs to hear this broadcast. Now, I want to say to those many that are just look at the link and you hit the online link and you're listening to it on your pad, and so you can still have your phone separated. You're listening and everything's clear. If you want to get in the conversation, you have to dial the number 319-527-6173. Again, 319-527-6173. If you want to engage in this conversation. So, ladies, let's start with Ms. Trina. I'll bring you right back, Pastor Valores. Ms. Trina, I want to just say thank you for being here this morning. And I'm not sure if you've been on the broadcast before, but I know Ms. Paula and Amanda and several other freedom fighters, justice freedom fighters have been here. So I feel like I know you guys, and I'm just embracing you to just use this platform to help and to heal. So take a moment to share your story.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, it is a blessing. And all our testimonies, we do come out of a test for them all. So my testimony started when I was about 14 years old. I was in a relationship with a young man that lived directly next door to me. So we were basically raised together. We grew up together. And it was just one of those instances where I liked the pretty boy next door. So we fell in love, and we were in a not committed relationship because his family were from a whole nother country. So to them, him dating African-American women was a no-no. So to me, I was in love. To him, he was in a hidden secret relationship. So we would go on for years where he would creep over the back door, creep over in the backyard, and things of that nature just to come and spend time with me. It got to the point to where when I started going to school and he got kicked out of school, that it became, I could see like this harassing type behavior and aggressive type behavior that I hadn't seen when we were coming up. And I would go to school and I would come home and he would be hiding in like behind a tree or on the side of the house where I couldn't really see him when I would get out of school and go to my house. And one day, I came home, and two of the front windows were broke in my mom's house. And his brother was a person that worked and fixed windows. So his brother would come over, and he would say, oh, well, such and such broke the windows, so my mom and my dad are having me come over to replace them. So I would talk to my boyfriend on the phone, and I would ask him, like, what's going on, what's going on? Oh, I seen you at the corner talking to some boy, and you trying to be with somebody else. And it was just a lot of accusatory situations that would happen. It got to the point to where one day I came home from getting my hair done, and he was in my house hiding. And I went into my room, and as I got ready to go into the room, I seen him charging at me. And he had a house phone. And, you know, back in the 70s, the house phones were those big, huge dial phones. So he takes the phone, and he hits me right in the middle of my forehead. And to this day, at 43 years old, I still have the scar in the middle of my forehead where he hit me with the telephone. And I, at that point, I was just done with the violence. I was done with the violence as a whole because I was a young girl. I had watched domestic violence throughout my life with my mom and her boyfriends that she had. So in me, I was like, this is not something that I want to be a part of. This is not something for me. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not causing any, in any type of way, I'm not causing him to have these actions. Those are feelings that he has within inside him that he needs to deal with. So after he hit me with the telephone, the first thing I seen laying on the ground was this real heavy 2x4. And I took the 2x4 and I hit him right in the back of his head with it. And he took off running to his house. I went to my grandparents' house. We called the police. The police came out, and they told us, well, she can't get a restraining order because this person lives 30 feet from her front door. He can walk out of his back door, shoot her if that's what he chose to do. So there's no restraining order that we can get between them. And it just went back and forth with law enforcement, my parents, his parents, my grandparents, his parents. And ultimately, my grandfather, rest his soul, was the person that actually stood up and told my boyfriend's father, your son and my granddaughter are never going to be an item. This is something that has to stop before someone gets hurt. And his father was adamant that, well, that was her first love, that was his first love, so therefore they need to get married. And my grandfather told him, in America, that's not how it happened. So whatever the guidelines are for your country, that's not the guidelines for this country. So your son is not allowed on my property, and my granddaughter is not allowed on your property. And for a while, it went that way where none of the family spoke, and everybody was just in existence, basically, on the street for a while. Until later on, when we were no longer in a relationship, then the families actually did come together, and we were much better friends than we were as we got older than we were when we were younger. And that's what came out of that particular relationship. And right now, today, we're all still friends. I've married, and he's married. He has children. I have children. And we communicate on a much better level. He's apologized for the things that he did when he was a kid, and I've accepted that. And we've had a perfect relationship since then.
Amen, amen. I like the way you said it. Back in the day, it wasn't like it is now. There was a lot more structure and family. Thank mm-hmm. God for the grandfather stepping in.
Yes, yes.
And that's where us men need to do better. See, a lot of lessons come out of these discussions that even us men, I saw a post from Pastor Valoris, and I'm going to get her to comment on that in a moment about the type of man a woman is looking for. I didn't look at the video because I wanted to know by verbally, but yes, the way it used to be is not how it is today. So us being able to be a little bit more conscious and paying attention to who we're getting involved with. I know you said that first love, that what'd you call him? The cute boy next
puppy
door.
Puppy love. The cute boy. Puppy the love. Pretty boy next door.
Pretty boy next door. I had that. Oh Lord, don't even use that name. He must have been light skinned or something because we had that bad
yes.
back in the 70s. Oh
yes,
yes.
yes.
Amen. Well, I'm going to thank you for your story. I'm going to bring in Pastor Valoris, then we're going to bring you both back in because I believe you two will have a lot to say before we open up our line. So I'll bring you back in a minute. Pastor Valoris, welcome to the broadcast. How are you today, woman of God?
I'm blessed. I'm doing well. I'm humbled to be speaking upon this topic. So I definitely am calling on the Spirit of God. Because
Amen.
This is very sensitive
Ooh,
to me as
yes,
well.
It is. I'm glad you said that because when we first started this, and me and Minister Carolyn, we did it for a one-show thing. And when we did it, God said, don't stop. And I'm like, when? He said, this season. And so you guys know me. I work in seasons. And in this season of 2018, meant the whole 2018. And here we are still pushing in October. And I'm thankful that God has brought this forward is something really needed. So I want to give you an opportunity just to take the floor and to share your story and your glory. And no matter how, whatever it is, you know how it is. We keep it real. This is Real Talk with Pastor E. And it started out that way 7 years ago. And we've kept it that way. It's Real Talk. So I just want you to let God use you, but share your story and your glory. And then we'll come back in.
Amen. Bless you all. Please hear me from my heart, because as Pastor, he said that I'm always allowed to keep it real, and I don't know any other way. But my story also sounds similar to hers, where you meet a boy that is totally dreamy. He was popular. He was a great dancer. We used to have drill teams back in the day, and he was on one of the popular drill teams, and skate, you know, he was a skater, basketball player, just was everything. And I was more so of, at that time, I was half geek and half street, because I went to private school. So I had the geek style, but then I had to go back to the hood where I live, so I was half street. So I got with him because it would make me popular, and me being with him, now everybody knew who I was, and, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, even though we're starting this story off as young girls, even now you get with someone because of, you're captivated by their character or their personality or their look or their swag and everything else. So you still, even older, have a tendency to do that. And so what happens is that you don't take a look into their history, their background, and definitely their family life. So I wasn't looking for those things as a young girl. I just was looking at him and into his beautiful eyes. So anyway, as time went on, I became pregnant with my first child by him. And so now, because I'm spending more time with the family, because before it was kind of like the summer, we were inseparable, you're at the lake, you're at the park, you're kicking it, so you're really not spending time. So now that I'm pregnant, I'm spending more time with the family. And in the family dynamics, I'm seeing how there was already domestic violence and the husbands fighting wives and wives throwing pots at their husbands, and even them fighting each other, brother and sister and sister and sister, and street fight. I mean, they just was a fighting family. And so then he began to hit on me, and it was for the most smallest stuff. It was, you know, if he asked me to do something, I'd be like, okay, well, just wait a minute. Wait, what you mean wait? And all of a sudden you get popped. So I was like, wait, hold on. So me beginning to just speak, or began to be scared of my responses to him, because I would begin to get hit. And then after having my child, it became even worse. I do remember a few times him even fighting me while I was pregnant. But it became worse because now it was that you're not leaving me, you're not going anywhere type of attitude. And even to one day, and this is the most sensitive story, and one day I was working in the mall. We had a big, it's called the Grand Avenue Mall downtown. It had just opened. Big, beautiful mall, thousands of people coming through. And I was working at one of the push carts in the middle of the mall. And I was down there at work, and I see him coming. And so I'm thinking, like, he's just coming to visit me at work. He walked up to me, and Cole just slapped the mess out of me, just from out of nowhere, because of what he had heard, what his friends had told him I was doing, and was not ashamed about it. And when I tell you that people just looked, and did nothing, and he made me leave work. Now, of course, a push cart is only one person manned, so it's not like I could tell anybody else to take over. I was made to leave my work, leave that cart open. All this person's material, money, everything else just open because of me being afraid. I did try to leave a couple times, and one time I had ran over to my girlfriend's house trying to leave. And also, too, hiding in the bushes, and caught me going into her house and literally drugged me down the alley, beating me with a 2x4 all the way. Now, he had no car, all the way to the bus stop, beating me. And I'm literally holding, now by this time I had a second child by him, and I'm holding my child in my arms trying to protect my child. So I'm getting beat across the back all the way to the bus stop. And people, again, this is what hurts. People, again, are seeing this and are doing nothing as I'm sitting there crying. And I remember my girlfriend called my mother, because my mother lived not too far. She called my mother, told her what had happened. My mother, in her old age, came, rolled up, found me on the bus stop, got out with her old self, and was like, it's going to be me and this dude today. because I'm here to save my daughter. And I remember doing a Bonnie and Clyde move. I ran and jumped in the car. My mom took off and took me straight to the police station. And like you said, back then the protective orders didn't work. It didn't work for me because he always found a way around it, and they found a way to not arrest him. And finally, when it finally came down, I remember going out with my girlfriend, and I was sitting there at on a bar stool, and a guy came up trying to talk to her and was like, "What's wrong with your friend?" And she told him, she's like, her old man is, you know, beating on her, and she can't leave. He's making her come back home. And he was like, "What?" And I was like, you know, looking at her like, "Girl, I'm telling my business, you know," type deal. And so then he was like, "Hold on, wait here 1 minute." And there was another part of the bar, and he went back there. He came back, got me, took me back there, and not knowing that I was in a motorcycle club. And when he took me to the back, it was hundreds of motorcycle riders back there. And anyway, so to wrap it up, he went and told them, her old man is beating on her. Who's going to take care of her? Who's going to protect her? I would never forget them, because I would never forget Curtis and the motorcycle club, because Curtis stepped up and said, I got her, and gave me his phone number. I had so many phone numbers that day. They was like, if he ever come around again, give us a call. And I'm thinking to myself, I heard that before, because I'm an only child. So I don't have a brother fighting for me. I don't have a sister fighting for me. I'm fighting alone. And I was like, okay, I heard that before, whatever. And that day, that very same day, my girlfriend was taking me home. And again, he was hiding in the gangway, jumped out and began to beat on me. And I made it in the house, and I made it to the door. And something said, call that number. And I called, and my mother, she upstairs, hysterical, just crying and screaming. And I remember my mama saying, what is that? What is that noise? Because now I'm in the back of the house. And she was like, what is that noise? The block was lit up. Bikers from everywhere came to my rescue. And they came in the house. They calmed my mother down. And they said, she does not leave this house without our escort. And if it wasn't for them, strangers stepping in, I don't know if I will be alive today. From that, like you said, the healing came where I had to begin to not attract or be the same person he was, because I took to the streets. I turned around and became an abuser of my children because of the hurt and pain and the anger and the frustration. So I just want to give you that, because I don't want to take all of it, because that was 7 years. 7 years I went through that, and I'm thankful to be here. And like the other minister said, him and I, because we have kids together, we're past that. I had to forgive him.
Right.
I had to forgive him, and he even apologized to me. Did it do something instantly? No. It took time. It took years to be able to say. It took a lot of Jesus for me to not turn around and be an abuser. And I'm not just talking about abuser with my hands. I'm talking abuser with my mouth. I'm talking abuser of my own body, because now that abusive spirit was in me, and I had to work out that same victimized, you know what I'm saying, that same abusive spirit to other people. So
right.
God is truly healed and delivered.
Well, that's the dynamic part is when you even were transparent enough to say the spirit that had been leashed on you, now you were leashing out on your children with that. And it doesn't have to be physical. It could just be, you know, whatever spirit is in you, that spirit will live.
Yeah.
You're a good person.
Yeah.
You're born a good person. You're born created by God, but the spirit in you changes everything. And now you are a product of your environment. You're a product of your situation, and it can be so detrimental to other people. So can we just touch on that? You said that now you were abusive to your children, and that was, did it have something to do because of the memory or the connection of him being the father?
Hurting people hurt people.
Mm.
When you're hurt, and you don't understand, when there is an absence, when there's a void, when there is a question as to why, what did I do so wrong? How did I mistaken this for love? It's like, Pastor E, the best way I can describe it, if I go up to the board and I put two and then over two, if I put two and then up under there two and the line and tell you to solve that, you're going to be like, what do you want me to do? You want me to add, subtract, right. divide? You understand what I'm saying? There's a small piece missing that will begin to frustrate you because I'm like, no, just do the problem. But you're looking at me, but there's something missing. And you'll stand at that board and you become angry. And from becoming angry, that breeds hurt. You understand what I'm saying? Confusion breeds anger, what I'm trying to say. First it starts with confusion. And from confusion, you become angry. And from angry, you start to hurt. And from hurt, all you know to do is react.
That's right.
And so it wasn't so much of him being their father. It was I kept reacting out of my hurt. I kept reacting to, again, my kids could do something very small, just like me, very small, and all of a sudden I'm lashing out and I'm calling them all kinds of names and I got the belt and I'm wailing on them and nonstop and, you know, and all that other stuff. And I hate that I did that to my boys because I didn't understand and I didn't know any better. They're great kids now. God protected them from me.
God.
Awesome now, but I didn't know. And then when I turned around and I began to abuse my own body with drugs and alcohol to make the pain stop, I even plotted this man's murder. That's how bad I was hurting. I wanted him dead, thinking that was going to help me to live.
Right.
Because I just did not. I didn't know what to do with all that. Who do I talk to? Like I said, I didn't have no brothers and sisters. I didn't have nobody to talk to. And I wasn't saved at that time, so I didn't know Jesus. And again, it just turned into another cycle. Now I'm abusing sex. Now I'm abusing anybody. Now I don't even care about your feelings. Now I'm just straight dogmatic. It just became a never-ending growing cycle. Until I found God. Once I found God, and even in finding God, you still need somebody to help you to understand. Because now I found God, and guess what? I'm going on, and now I'm married. And guess what? Anything laying dormant that you did not process or deal with will surface.
That's right.
And it began to surface in my marriage on a good man. My husband was a great man. But the things that was laying dormant in me began to manifest in ways that began to dog him out, calling him fat, calling him out his name. You know what I'm saying? And I'm wondering, where is this coming from? Not never understanding. I needed to deal with that. I needed to process that. Before, when you asked me to do this broadcast, and I started praying, and it was interesting, Pastor E, because what came to me was, God, because I did not have a father, because I did not have a mother, my mother worked out, when I say 12, 14 hours a day, my mother wasn't around, she had to work. All I ever wanted was somebody to be proud of me. And I began to cry before this broadcast, like, God, I didn't know that was still there, that I still seek for someone just for you. All my relationships all ended bad. Why did all my relationships end bad? I want to be better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it always ended bad because of what I did. And God said, all you've been ever wanting to do is just for somebody just to embrace you and be proud of you.
And well, I know you know now.
Is that small?
But I know you know now that there's somebody proud of you. God is definitely proud of you. And then those of us that have embraced you in family, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for allowing this to come out and for some freedom. I feel some freedom for you in this. And we were planning for you to come on a show for it would just be Pastor Valores. Here we are. And then now today I hit you this morning. You were available. This was your time. This was each one of us, our time here to grow. And I know that pain, I'm glad you're allowing it to be transparent, because we do not fool yourself. Anybody listening to us, it does not disappear that fast. Yeah, we talk it every day. That's how we get better. But the pain is still there. It's just, do you pay attention to the pain? Or do you let the pain give you victory because you know you went through something and now you're victorious? And that's the difference. But there's a lot of people that say, oh, the pain will go away. Ooh, I still got some pains from way back in the day of me making some bad decisions. But now I'm not affected by it. But the pain is not that far. And we have to be stronger. We have to be more supportive. We have to do more things like this. I want to bring in Minister Carolyn. I know she's probably crying over there. Minister Carolyn, come on in and join the discussion. Myself, Pastor Valores, and we're going to bring in Miss Elaine. Tell me that I said her name right. This is the first time you're meeting her, but I want to bring both of you back in. What's your name again? Did I say it right?
Trina.
Write that down. It won't happen again. Well, Trina, we're live. You, Pastor Valores, Minister Carolyn is online. And I just want to give you guys the opportunity, if there's something one of you said that touched, or you guys want to kind of discussion, here's the time for that right now.
I did want to say something. First of all, I most definitely was over here sitting and crying, and I was telling my sister Tamara, like, turn, she's playing gospel music. That's how she works. And I'm like, turn it down. And then she started talking, and I was sitting here crying. But the part that got me is when you said the motorcycle club. And when you said that, what was that noise? I'm sitting here like, yes! my parents, my mother and my father were motorcycle riders, and they belonged to a club in L.A. And I used to tell my friend, when we start going to motorcycle club, do not be in here messing with the motorcycle women and their men, because they are nothing like when you rub them the wrong way. So when you said you ran in the motorcycle club, I'm like, to me now, the first place I would run is the church. But next to the church, you get in the motorcycle. I'm just saying.
Keep that real.
I'm just saying. You are.
And it was.
I mean, and I'm sitting here like, your mother, that was like a ride or die mother. I can remember the time when I used to get beat, you know, by my first husband, but he was a gang member, and he came up on my dad's porch, and my father had just had a three-way bypass, and my father picked up a machete, and the police was called, and my mother's telling him, like, drop it. And the police is telling my father, and my father's like, this such and such came up here and put his hands on my baby, and you telling me to drop my weapon? Y'all drop yours. And I just knew because of my actions that my father was going to die that day. And after that, I just would get beat up because I never would call. And I'm the youngest of nine. I have six brothers. I would never call them because of that one incident. It's like, I did not want anyone to get hurt or killed because of me. So
I definitely understand that.
I applaud you wholeheartedly, and I felt it in my spirit, and it just brought up old things from me. But then I also thought about, and my sister was saying, like, how aggressive we are as the men that, you know, we attract. And one thing we could say could set them off, because I can remember my ex telling me, well, you started, because I would tell him, shut up, but I wouldn't say those words. I would say it, and he said, just the way I would say it just irked him, because I would cut, you know, you could imagine what I would say, but it's like he would work my nerve, and I would say, just shut the up. And so he started clapping back. And when he clapped back, that made me clap back. So and my sister was saying that, you know, she's not saying that we're responsible for our own beatings, but for me. She was saying, but you know, she was talking about me. And she was like, but for you, you know, your mouth is, you know, foul and or what, you know, foul. And you would say things, even my brothers and sisters used to say, sometimes the way you say stuff just make me want to sock that out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say something else when they said that. And my dad used to always say, Bubbles, your mouth is going to get you killed. And then just sitting here thinking about it, the things and the trouble that I have gotten into, it has always been because of my mouth. But then where did I get my mouth from? Okay, and I was like, because of my mouth, I started doing and saying things to people that would get my own self in a world of trouble, and then I would wonder, like, why am I getting hit? Like, why am I going through this? And it was because I really did. So I had to start working on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started working on me, I started realizing that this is not the type of person that I want to be with. So now it's time for me to remove myself. But then every time I removed myself, I ended up with the same kind of man, just with a different name. And that baby had the same kind of mouth. So I started repeating the cycle over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just commend you, and I just wanted to say that. And it gave me another reality check. And there's certain things that I still have to do and that I still have to work on, especially if we ever decide to go into a good, wholesome relationship, or if we find that good man, but he turns all bad because of the baggage that we're still holding on to, that I'm still holding on to, that I have to let go. And it'll never get better until I get better. So,
and I know a lot of that when it came to me is that I had to learn to not trust me but trust God. Because like you said, again, attracting the same people over and over, and I had I sat and I asked God, I was like, what is it about me that keep attracting this? And he said, because you're trying to do it out of the flesh. Whatever is in the flesh is going to birth flesh. Mm. Whatever is in the spirit is only going to birth spirit. Mm. Once you stop trying to select a man or let men date you from a fleshly perspective and get over into a spiritual perspective, will you then begin to get better quality men? But I can't take you from flesh to spirit when I know your flesh itself is still jacked up.
Yeah.
You got to deal with yourself. You got to deal with you. It has nothing else to do with about Jack, Jim, Bo, or whoever else. This now has everything to do with you. Because you still, again, if you go to the grocery store, what I put in the basket is what I'm taking out of the store. I have a choice of what I'm putting in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice of what you're going to select to be a part of your character, a part of your you know what I'm saying, your personality. You have a choice. You have a choice to return some things too. Devil, I return that back to you.
Right.
I return that foul language back to you. I return that. I don't even want no money back. I don't even want no credit. Thank you.
Okay.
Because I'm leaving here with my joy, my peace. I'm leaving here with what it is that I need. And from it took practice and patience with myself to develop a better character. I think I talked about that test. Remember, Pastor E, when I talked about the misunderstood test? Misunderstood test came from my mouth.
Right.
And God had to show me, no, you got to work that out of you. You can't keep talking to everybody the same way. You can't keep just barking orders and this, that. No, you need to change that about you.
Leave me alone. Please, leave me alone. All up in my test.
But it was birthed back from these experiences, y'all, from these hurtful experiences.
That's right. And that goes from that's male and female. I'm telling you, the spirit that's in you, will come to life. There's no doubt about it. I used to be very abusive in words. It's just the way I had a don't care about you attitude all my life. My way, the highway, alone too, but Jesus. and was very forceful about it. And you can go on about your business. And I had that wall up in my life because so many things I've seen and other people get hurt, other people get used and abused. I said, that won't be me. I'm never getting married. Maybe that's still on me now because I was only married for 5 years and that's been 20. But anyway, those type of things I used to say back in the day, you know, I don't want that. No, I'm not going through that. Nobody will ever do me like that. That's not healthy because it builds up walls and it builds up attitude that you, the way you act, the way you can look at somebody can tell, don't even talk to them. But a lot of us will still talk to them and then we get cursed out and we wonder why. Or somebody you look at and be like, oh, they look attractive, but it's just something about them. I might push them the wrong way. You don't need to push them because you already see it coming. And we need to be more conscious in those areas and be more transparent to tell folks. That's why I was the way I was, is because of so many things I've seen. You know, my parents, my dad wasn't physically abusive, but he was about man, this, you know, the way we grew up. Woman served home. Didn't work. Wanted to get a job. Huh? For what? You know, it's just a lot of things I noticed and paid attention to. I don't want that. I'll never be a part of that. I don't want that in my life. Well, that is part of my healing and knowing that I'm not like that anymore because I break those boundaries down because I know we got to treat each other right. That's number one. But it starts with treating yourself right. And then when we can begin to do that, we can start to see some evidence in there. Trina, did you have something? If not, I want to open up the lines and give somebody
–
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to tell her I when she was speaking about her kids and the abuse that reflected onto them, that's where she got me, that tug at my heartstrings, literally, because all the relationships that I have been through, none of them except for one has at least been productive. The rest of them, they weren't productive. They were abusive. Mm-hmm. They were so dangerous at times to where I didn't know if my kids and I would live or survive. And when I would leave, once I got out of that relationship that I was in that was so destructive and it brought so much torment in my household, I looked to my kids and I would just cry. I would get in corners and I would just binge and I would cry and I would just ask God, please, just allow me my baby. Just allow me my baby, please. And I would pray and I would pray and I would pray. And I would leave that relationship. And again, like she said, my flesh saw this person and I was attracted to that person. And that person was attracted to me. And he was from the streets and I was from the streets. And okay, this is a perfect match. And I would sit back and say, okay, am I going to find a man that I believe that I have prayed for and that God has sent me, or when am I going to find out 6 months down the line that, no, that was what the devil sent you because that's what you were seeking for. So he answered your call. And those are the things that I started contemplating in my head because I had a son that I did never wanted my son to be a man, the type of man that I was dating and bringing into my household around my son. And then I had two daughters, and I would never, ever want my daughters to endure the things that I endured and the things that they observed their mother endure. So those are the things that I started to pray for. And when I started to pray for those things and I started to remove people from my life, it was even family members I would remove from my life that were not helping for certain things. I would remove all types of people because I wanted to give my kids that breath that they need, that fresh air. Life is not something for people. A lot of people say life's the beat and then you die. I don't believe that because life is what you put in it. And like you get out of life what you put into life. So if you put nothing but negative vibes out there, you're going to have nothing but negative vibes. If you put any type of existence from your spiritual realm, your beliefs, your teachings, if you put any of that into your kids and into your life, that's what's going to be reflected. So I removed my kids from the environment that we were in. I removed my kids from the type of men that were abusive to me and abusive and destructive to the household. I removed them from those things.
My oldest child now is married. She has 3 kids of her own. My youngest child, she's still on the balance because she's 19 and she's still in her body and her life right about now. My only regret is that a lot of the things that my son saw and that he was privileged and raised around, it infected him. So my son, I continue to pray for because my son is right now doing 3 years at the state penitentiary, and he's the person, how she said, you're always looking for somebody to, you're always looking for that person to make that person proud of you. And being that I didn't have men figures in my life, positive men figures in my life, I've always looked to my son for my son to be proud of me. I always wanted him to be proud of me so that he would get a stand-up woman. He would get a woman that he can call his own, a woman that he can make babies with, and he can beautify a relationship with that person. And that's the person that I seek the most guidance from is my son, because I want him to understand women are not something for you to abuse. They are not something for you to treat, for you to mishandle. They are something that you should treat and appreciate because you saw how your mother was treated and you never want that happen to me again. Now he's 6 foot 5, 275 pounds, and right now today, if a man ever put their hands on me, it would be a problem for him. Just a problem.
I bet it would be.
He's literally like my own little motorcycle club. He is by himself. He is my own little motorcycle club. But he is the person, and my other kids, they get so jealous. They say, "Mama, Devin's just your favorite son. He's your favorite kid." And it's not that he's my favorite kid. It's just that I want him to embrace relationships positively. That's what I want for him.
I want him to embrace women
positively because we have enough men that are abusers. We have enough women that are survivors of domestic violence. We have enough of those. I want for him to create histories and memories that have nothing to do with the history and memory that he came from.
Right. Amen.
Well,
amen,
I tell you what, I'm getting ready to try to start an alliance of the Protection Club across this nation of men that will answer the phone and go show up. I will. Don't call me. It might be some problems. You better get me to pray first. Because when Jesus. But y'all know me. I'm serious about that. Y'all are my sisters. I'll be looking out for you. I'll be watching y'all little posts. Like, don't let somebody start stalking. I will get in there. Send them through the Pastor E-Test. We need to talk about that next Wednesday. Pastor Valores, the Pastor E-Test. Send them this way. They'd be like, "What's going on with you guys? Why, who's he?" Be like, "That's my brother. He going to ask the right question." No, he ain't trying to get at me. He's just trying to make sure you can't get me unless you're sent by God. Let's open the lines right now. If anybody out there has heard something, I know you have, that has been touching to you and you would love to comment with any of our panelists here this morning, please dial 1. We would love to hear from you. I'm blessed because I've heard some very powerful things. This is what these broadcasts should really be about, is finding nuggets that we can leave here and say, how can we build on that? I'm not playing about the Protection Club. I'm really serious about that. It came into me, and I'm going to reach out, man. Are you available in Houston? And all the cities I know, would brothers just be available to answer their phone? I get a call, man, I'm in Texas. Okay, what part? See if we can get somebody out there to help you. Minister Terry, welcome to, and everybody knows Minister Terry's going to comment. Minister Terry, welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E. Good morning.
Good morning. I say all glory to God, my beautiful family. I'm listening, you know, to all the testimonies. Pastor V, Pastor E, and heard Minister Trina, Minister Curlin. But you know what? I was just over here saying, thank God. Thank God for Jesus, because Jesus kept us, because we've all been through this domestic violence in these relationships. And you guys, the testimony that's going forth this morning, this helps someone. This has to be shared, because I was listening to Minister Curlin when she said her grandfather told her that your mouth will get you in the world of trouble. We knew we grew up on that, but Jesus told us, you know, in the world we're going to have trouble. There will be trouble, but in him we have peace. And I love what Pastor V, you said you didn't know when you was looking for that help. You didn't know Jesus, didn't know God right then. So that's something that we all have to get everybody to know Jesus right now, because without him we can't do nothing. We can't even fight off these, we won't even be able to recognize these spirits that that live in these young men. They were young men when we ran across them. We won't even be able to recognize it, but these young women now and young men, they can recognize those spirits that's living in the opposite sex, because they have to know Jesus, and we have to have that discernment to know that it's not mm-hmm. them on the outside, it's the spirits that they're allowing in them. So I thank God, and I thank God for you, you mighty women of God, for forgiveness, having that forgiveness in your heart. And I know, Pastor Lee, you said it took some time, and I know forgiveness takes time. And I thank God for, you know, giving me that spirit to be able to forgive anybody of anything, and just to love, you know, love and not judge, because the time is now. We don't have time to waste. The time he gives us, we have to do his work. Amen. I'm just
you know, when you said that, I have to share this drop, this prophetic straight from heaven. Forgiveness is not to be forgotten, and unforgiveness
yes.
either. That's the fight,
yes.
is that we stay in it, and it reminds us mm-hmm. that we're forgiving to be forgiven, and that, oh, no,
right.
I want to still forgive them. It was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. No, I forgive them fresh
right.
today.
Exactly.
Like this is brand new, y'all. This is brand new.
That's
it's just
right
calm down.
Now.
That forgiveness needs to be all constant. I still forgive them. Yes, I do. I know you forgot about
yeah.
that, didn't you? No, I didn't. I'm still in forgiveness for them. Wow,
yeah.
that's
and
pretty
it's,
deep
it's interesting that you say, I'm glad that you said that, because remember, like I said, when you text me and I went into prayer with God, like, okay, Lord, what is it that you would have me to talk about? Open up my mind and understanding. And for me to begin to cry because of hurt, I'm like, wait, hold on, what's going on? I thought that I was done with this. I thought I was
right.
over with this. But like you said, it's a forgiving process.
Right.
I had to, again, forgiveness, again, over people. I forgive them, Lord, because what did Jesus say? Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do.
They know not what they do.
They didn't know. They didn't know what mm-hmm. they were doing. They didn't understand what they were doing. And another point that I want to say to Minister Carolyn that just called in, when you said that, you know, now being in Christ and being in God and teaching them to be in God to be able to recognize these spirits, right? Please hear my heart when I say this, because what dropped in me was, Minister, even when they know better, they still don't do better.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
The reason being is that you still have men and women in God that know better.
Know better.
They know to apply the Spirit of God, but they don't, because they still don't make God their everything. They still
yeah.
don't make God be their comforter, their keeper, their midnight, you know what I'm saying? They still too much on being lonely, still being voice, still being, I want somebody in my life. I don't want to be alone. They still let that rule them, and they still make the same decisions even when they know God.
My God.
Amen.
That's true. That's true.
Because that's because, speaking for myself, when you're complacent and when you're familiar with that type of person, and you're, and inside of you, your self-esteem says, this is what I know, and I can deal with the situation
mm-hmm.
because this is a situation that I know of. I'm not familiar with the man with the 9-to-5 that's calling me and speaking praises to me and giving me all the blessings in the world. But the man over here that sends me a 5-minute text and say, hey, what's cracking today? I'm familiar with him, so I'm going to roll with what I'm familiar with. So when you roll with what you're familiar with, that's how you end up in the circumstances, although you know better.
Come on now.
Teach.
I had
and
a young lady
listen.
Tell me. I had a young lady tell me she was in an abusive relationship. She said, that's all I know.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's all I know. What do you mean you're telling me to leave? What do you mean to leave? That's all I know. I said, you're going to die. I don't know nothing else. I mean, I'm serious about this. She cried out to me. She said, Pastor E, mm-hmm. I listened to your broadcast. I'm fired up and all that. But she says, where am I going to go? Can I come to your house? I said, no. I said, but I got a place over here. She said, but then I'm gonna be away from what I know. This is all I know.
Right.
You have to get to know yourself before you can go out and know better and do better. You have to know within you what's better.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you like it don't mean it's good for you. So if
and
you within yourself,
you better say that one again. You can say that one again.
Yeah. Yes. Just because you like it don't mean it's good for you. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
That's
man, that's
right. And the one thing is that we have to piggyback this on another show, or Pastor E have to talk to the men about it, is because
to me, what makes a great man will see my hurt and love me past my pain.
Yes.
And too many good men give up on good
yes.
women. We have good in us. I
apologize
yes. that I come with some baggage of hurt and pain,
yes.
but if you are willing to pray with me, if you're willing to show me better, if you're willing to be patient with me, I promise you, you'll have a bad cracking woman in your life. But good men give up on us too fast.
Yes.
That's why I'm single.
Because a broken woman is hard to please.
Yeah.
I've learned that from one man. I give him all the praises that I can give him. He couldn't deal with me, and I couldn't deal with him based on the fact that I didn't know me, and he couldn't get to know me.
Mm.
So with that situation, it was bad because I was broken. I knew I was broken. I didn't know how to fix me. I didn't know what it would take to fix me. That man
right.
probably was the best thing that would have ever happened to me, and my brokenness probably would have been repaired. But I couldn't give it that time, and he didn't have enough time in his lifetime probably to sit out and wait for that brokenness to heal.
Ooh, that's what Jesus has to be that additive, that extra push.
Yes.
That
yes.
now waiting is not just waiting. Waiting is going through with I thank the Lord for that right now. That relationship is going through with. Not just
yes.
saying, hey,
mm-hmm.
I'm over here until you get it together. As I was saying before,
right.
we're here to make it till you yes. make it. See, loving somebody
yes.
is not just loving you to say, I want to see you do better. Loving somebody mm-hmm. really means I'm going to stand here until you're doing better.
Right.
That's true love. That's
Come
true
on.
Love. Oh, my God.
And that's a
and
good
to
know
what
so your many best... people. So many people will sin and say, well, you need to let God heal you. Let God heal you. Oh, we understand that. But see, that's just like your child coming home with homework. And then all of a sudden you just let them sit there and try to do it by themselves instead of you going over there and getting them guidance. We do need you, men. Men, we do need you to help us through this healing process. Yes, we got God with us, but God, I'm saying God can do it alone. Please hear me. But you will help make it better because now I have a natural example of what it's supposed to be like, what it's supposed to feel like, what it's supposed to really look like. So then now having a friendship with Pastor E, a man roll up on me because he's been in my life. I'm like, oh, brother, I recognize that. Nope, that ain't finna go down like that. Because I had natural help as well as godly help.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it out there right now. October 30th, that is not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, on Man of the Movement, I need them voices, them lady voices, to say what it would take. I can say it all day long. Man, we need to ride through with them. We need to be there with them when they're struggling. Don't give up on them, and they're going to hear it just like that. I need you guys' voices on Man Up on October 30th. To what is it that women need from a man and from a woman's perspective? If I get anybody to get on that show,
watch that
this
video.
Will be the biggest show on
watch
Man Up
video.
Ever.
Watch that video. I'll send you a video for that.
I know.
But
you
what
did.
The thing is, the thing that I've seen within myself is that I can ask for a good man all day. I can pray for him. I can go out and just wait and say, okay, Lord, gonna send me one. I can do that all day. But when that good man comes, the approach is the problem. Is because good men are willing to be there with good women. Good men are willing to be there and support and be in a household with a good woman, all that. What I want men to understand is that when I do tell you, I have pain, I have brokenness, I have faults, I have all these things, but I am willing to get help and overcome them if you are willing to stand by me through them. And that's what women want. I don't just want you to say, well, I pay all the bills, I got the job, I pay for the house, I pay for the cars, I do all that. I don't understand what else she wants. All
right,
I want
right.
for you to understand is that I have pain. I have brokenness inside of me, and I want you to stand with me for me to get that healing so that it doesn't interrupt what we have going on here, so that we can
mm-hmm.
prosper in a futurist way. We can be the ultimate team together because within me, I know I am a good woman. I know I am a breadwinner. I know I am a survivor. So I know you have good quality woman in me. I come from the best of the best. My grandparents were married for 62 years. My grandfather was the only man my grandmother had ever been with since she was 17 years old, for 66 years. So I know I come from a breed of women that are to be glorified. And all of them were in the house of the Lord. So I know where my spiritual realm comes from.
Right,
and I know
where
my beliefs come from. So you have a strong woman. I have a strong foundation. It's what's inside the crack is that I need to help with.
Amen.
And I need
Amen.
That man
you know what?
To understand that.
What I'm going to ask everybody for the sake of time, because I know Minister Carolyn's standing there. Pastor, usually we're off of here. We have two events going today. Can we do a part two next Saturday at 9 a.m.? I would love everybody on this panel to be here. Let's continue this discussion. My invite for October 30th is also out there for Man Up the Movement. I need at least three women to come on there and share what a woman really needs. And I'll watch the video, but I still need a woman's voice. Give you guys opportunity. Any closing remarks? Let's start with Trina, then Pastor V, then Minister Carolyn, and then myself, and we'll get out of here. But I appreciate everybody listening today. Minister Terry, thanks for chiming in, and meet us here next Saturday.
I just want to say thank you guys for having me a part. The testimonies that the ladies gave, Ms. Carolyn, Pastor Terry, the testimonies were definitely eye-opening. Just like Carolyn said, they were reality checks for myself as well. And just to any young ladies, older ladies, young men, older men, just pay attention and seek what you're seeking and know what you want and give what you can to make sure that relationship is withstanding.
Amen. Pastor V.
Amen. I just concur everything that was said today. So I have no more closing remarks, just to know that even while you're in it, and if you're still in it now, things that you think that it's never going to end, it will. There's always an end date for everything. Just please trust God and find someone to talk to, find someone that's going to minister and pour into you so you can get the strength that you need. And when you're on the other side, you're not feeling alone or you're not feeling absent or feeling kind of like withdrawals from that situation. So I thank and praise everyone for allowing me to give you my testimony. Amen.
Amen. We want to hear you back next week. Minister Carolyn.
I just want to thank the people for coming on today. And yes, at all times we're here every Saturday morning. If you ever need to call in, if you ever want to call in, if you want to talk, we could talk. If you want to listen, you could listen. I just appreciate the gift that God has given us with this ministry of domestic violence on this line. So
we are ministers.
That's it.
Yes, we are ministers of domestic violence. Yes, we take that claim today. I just want to say to anybody out there, we're available 24/7. You can reach us at the Now Network P2P hotline at 213-595-7591. At Sisters Working Against Gang Violence, 323-830-2161. Again, P2P Ministries, the Now Network at 213-595-7591. Sisters Working Against Gang Violence, 323-830-2161. And yes, we will answer. We will get back with you. If you're out there and you need help, please call us. Let us get you to the right avenue. Now, I know we're in California. There's somebody in Texas saying, what about me? Somebody in Florida. We are building a network, and I know almost somebody in every state. At least reach out to us and see if we can get somebody close to you to reach out to you and to be available. I know Justice is also in several chapters throughout the United States. Don't just think because we're in California or because Pastor V's in Milwaukee and we have many other callers in other states that we cannot reach you. Don't let that stop you. Call us if you need us. We appreciate you. Just know that you are loved. Just know that you are honored. Just know that you are appreciated. But the most important thing I want you to know here, even if you're hurt and broken, or even if you've been the one hurting and breaking, God still loves you and he can change your life. You don't have to continue with the spirit and with the actions that you have been used to. Get out of the used to and come on over to the already done side, where God has already called your name, God has already forgiven you, God has already anointed you, God has already blessed you, and guess what? God has already set your steps in order that you can live a prosperous life and be whole. If you want that, you can dial one right now. We'll talk to you right now on a separate line to give you all of the keys for your starter kit to come into Jesus. We can do that for you right now. But without that, we just say thank you. And remember that we serve a what? A great God.
Hands up!